Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph by the two dots. Gemara is going back to the Mishnah, the machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the Mishnah, where Beit Shammai says that Kiddushin, or the minimum amount of Kiddushin, is a dinar, whereas Beit Hillel says that the minimum is a pruta. Now the Gemara wants to discover Matamayu the Beit Shammai. What's the reasoning behind Beit Shammai's opinion that they require a dinar for Kesef Kiddushin? Now we're going to have the opinion of four different Amuraim as to explain what the reasoning is behind Beit Shammai's opinion. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Shekein Isha Makpedet Al Atzma. Women are Makpidot, Ve'im Mitkadesh BePachod MiDinar. And they will not allow themselves to be married with less than a dinar. So over here you have an interesting problem that arises, which is Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rabbi Zeira, if that's the case that women won't get married with less than a dinar, that means that we're going after what they personally feel, or what their personal preferences are with regards to their worth or how much they're willing to get married for. So here the Gemara says, Amar Le Abaye, Me'atza Kigon Benate de Rabbi Yanai. The daughters of Rabbi Yanai, the Kaptan and Afshayu, are very particular about themselves. Lo Mekachi B'pachol Mitarkava de Dinare. Their expectations were that they would get no less than 3 kav worth of dinar. You would say the same thing over here, that if she doesn't get the minimum of 3 kav worth of dinari kesef, that she's not married. You've now made it that it's talui in the dat of the woman. And you're telling me that Beit Shammai says, well, the women's minimum dat is a dinar. But we know that there are certain women, either very wealthy women, or whether over here the girsa is not Rabbi Yanai or Rabbi Nate the Yanai, Yanai Amelech, the princesses, they are going to require a much higher threshold than Kaptid al Nafshayu. If that's the case, then a dinar is not going to work for everybody. You're going to have a case where even a dinar is not enough because they require a minimum of 3 kav worth of dinarim. So Achanami di Pashti Yada v'kab lechad zuza me'acher, Achanami di labi kiddushin. You're going to tell me then if she extends her hand and accepts a zuz from someone, that's not kiddushin, because she's makpedet on this minimum amount. So therefore, even if she accepts the kiddushin, it's not kiddushin because it doesn't meet the minimum threshold of that woman. Amar lei, so Rabbi Zeira responds to Abaye and says, Pashta yavda v'kabla lo ka'amina. No, in the case where she accepts it, that's not what I'm speaking about. Because when she extends her hand and accepts it, that's exactly what she did. She accepted it. That shows you that she's not makpedet, and that she's okay with taking less than amount. But, where do I say it? Ki ka'amino, kad shebeleliya, inami deshav yishaliach. When the case that I'm speaking about is a case where the kiddushin was done at night, or where she made an agent for the acceptance of her kiddushin. So now here you have two ways to explain this Gemara. The way that Rashi explains it, ubnate de Rabbi Yanai. The daughters of Rabbi Yanai, Nami ishavu shliach, if they made a shliach lo v'kedushin al betarkava di dinare, the kedushin would not succeed unless you get to that minimum of 3 kav worth of dinarim. According to Rashi, what Rabbi Zeira is suggesting is, if the woman's an active participant in the kedushin, then she can make a decision about what she's willing to accept for the kedushin. And if she's willing to accept less than she normally would be makpedet, that tells you she's not makpedet because she's willing to accept less. So even Benati Rabbi Yanai, who would only accept 3 kav worth of dinarim, if they accept something less than that, then that is kiddushin, because they accepted it. There's no question. Once they've accepted, they've accepted. Obviously, the minimum is a dinar kesef. Nobody could accept less than that, because that's the minimum threshold. But above that amount, any amount that they accept works. Our question is, what happens when they are not accepting it, because they're not a party or aware of what's being given? So whether it's at nighttime, where they're not going to see what's being given to them, or they sent an agent, where the agent is accepting the kiddushin on their behalf, then do we say that their hakpadah matters? So Rashi says yes. In that case, their hakpadah matters. And if the shliach, the agent, acts on their behalf, it's not kiddushin because they wouldn't accept less than 3 kav. And the agent acted out of line because he accepted something that the women normally would not accept. And therefore, there is no kiddushin. That's the way Rashi learns this Gemara. Tosafot over here asks a very fundamental question. Rashi, Vekasha, Dimke natata divarecha l'shi'urim. Kevin dazlina batar ko achat v'achat l'fi data. Once you do that, you've actually made kesef kiddushin this open, subjective matter. And now every woman is going to have a different price or a different amount of money that makes her mikudeshet or not mikudeshet. And we never do that. When we have an institution where we have to come to a fixed amount, we try to ensure that everybody has the same minimum threshold. That way there's no questions about whether it happened or didn't happen. Either it was above the threshold or wasn't above the threshold. But if you all of a sudden make it subjective, then in every case you won't know until you figure out what the woman really wanted, and then you're really open to the interpretation of what the woman wanted, then it leads to many problems. For that reason, Tosafot rejects the explanation of Rashi and explains like this. As opposed to Rashi, who says that when she accepts it, kablo, that's it. She accepted it, and therefore she can go all the way down to a denier. On the other hand, where she doesn't accept it, it's someone acting on her behalf or at night, then we go by the subjective threshold of the woman. Tosafot, on the other hand, says no. When they accept it, even Beit Shammai says you can go down to a pruta. They will agree with Beit Hillel in the case where she accepts it, that you can accept any amount. Whatever she accepts works, even all the way down to a pruta like Beit Hillel. So then what does it mean here that at night, or in the case of a shliach? So there he says, when we said that she's mikatcha b'layla or b'shliach, az kulan shavot pachot midinar in a mitkadeshet. Then we go to the minimum threshold of a dinar. Because in a case when they're not there, not present, their assumption has to be that the man's going to give them whatever they would give to any other woman. Most women would expect a dinar kesef, and therefore these women should expect a dinar kesef as well. And therefore, according to Tosafot, if you don't have the woman actively involved, the minimum threshold is a dinar kesef. Therefore, for Tosafot, Beit Shammai says, dinar kesef is the rule for everybody across the board, because that's what they should expect to get. That's what normal people would get, and that's what they should expect if they send a shliach. Or if it's at night, they shouldn't expect any more than that, and they're married based on that, because that would be their expectation. On the other hand, if she's actively involved and accepts it, she can accept even less than a dinar, all the way down to a pruta. So the argument of Beit Shammai is only in a case where the woman doesn't accept it, or is not a party to accept less than an amount. In a stam case, you need the threshold of a dinar. Rashi, on the other hand, says that Beit Shammai's minimum is a dinar. That's what the case is when she's willing to accept it. Then she can go down to a dinar. But if we don't have her as an active party in the Kiddushin, then you've got to figure out what her subjective desire is in this case. Now, this actually takes us back to the Gemara on Daf Gimel. Because back on Daf Gimel, the Gemara says, with regards to Shavei Pruta, how come Kinyan Chalipin doesn't work? So the Gemara there says, because Kinyan Chalipin can be done with Pachot Mishavei Pruta. It's less than a Shavei Pruta, and the Gemara makes a comment. Visha bepachot Mishavei Pruta, a woman for less than a Shavei Pruta, lo mekanya nafsha, does not marry herself off. Over there, the Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand Rashi's explanation. Rashi over here says, in Dav Gimel, Vishum Dignai Hula, it's beneath their dignity. Hilkach Batila Torah Chalipin Bikidushin. Therefore, Chalipin doesn't work in Kiddushin. Afilu Bikleish Eishbo Shavu Pruta. Yayv Lo Torah Chalipin. Even if it's worth more than a Pruta, it won't work. Vikashil Rabbeinu Tam, Dimkein Pashta Yadav Vikabla Titkadesh Bepachot Mishavu Pruta. According to Rashi's explanation, because all the thing here has to do with Hakpada of the woman, since there's a akpada, we don't allow Kinyan Chalipin to work. But that means if the woman was a party to this, and she was willing to accept less than a Shavei Pruta, it should work. Just like in our Gemara, Pashta Yada, if she is willing to accept it, it should work even less than the amount or the typical threshold. So Rabbeinu Tam says, I don't understand how Rashi over here can say that it's beneath her dignity and she won't accept it, but that means that if it's okay with her and she's willing to accept it, it should go through. Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't find that. We find that Shavei Pruta is its objective minimum, and you can't accept less than a Shavei Pruta. Number two, he asks, how come the Gemara over here doesn't ask about Benate de Rabbi Yanai? Benate de Rabbi Yanai say that it's all subjective, and therefore, why doesn't the Gemara ask over here on the Shita of Beit Hillel like they ask on the Shita of Beit Shammai? And he brings other questions on Rashi, and then he says, "Lekach nir l'Rabbeinu Tam, degarsinim pachot mishavei pruta lo mekanya." That's an objective fact. But less than a shavei pruta, you cannot be acquired. V'lo garas nafsha, and they don't write about the woman herself. D'lo b'kpeid atalia, It has nothing to do with what she wants or doesn't want. Pruta is an objective minimum. El hachitai mevshum degamar kicha kicha mistei afron, dichtibe kesef, pachet mishav pruta, lo mikre kesef. Less than a shev pruta is not called money anymore. And that's why it fails over there. So the Rabbeinu Tam changes the girsa back on Daf Gimel in order not to be a problem for our Gemara over here. Our Gemara over here says that a woman is makpedet al atzma and is not mekadeshet less than a dinar. The Gemara right away says, well, if it's all about hakpadah, then the woman should be able to lower that threshold and go below a dinar if she wants to, or if she is more makpedet, it should be even a higher level, like benate d'Rabbi Yanai. Rabbeinu Tam says, how come the Gemara, when it said it back on Daf Gimel, and says, oh, women will not be mekani and afshav less than a shav putah, the same question should apply. For that reason, the Rabbeinu Tam changes the girsa back on Daf Gimel to say, ain't a pakum shav putah is an objective minimum. That nobody goes below a shav putah because it's not called money anymore. And that's why the Gemara over there says it doesn't work. Over here, we're talking about something that's above that objective minimum, and therefore the hakpadah of the isha does have impact. And that's why, according to the way the Rabbeinu Tam is going to explain over here, like the Balei Tosafot, that means that in a stam case, it'll be a dinar. But where she shows that she's not makpedet, she can go all the way down to a shavet pruta. But she can't drop below a shavet pruta because that's not dealing with subjective levels. For that reason, the Rabbeinu Tam back on Daf Gimel changes the girsa. Other than Rashi has the girsa that says that Ein Mekanya Nafsha. That means he has the same girsa here on Daf Gimel as he has back on Daf Vav. So how does he reconcile that? The Rashbo over here explains that there's a difference because Hotam Kpeda Tam Kpeda Deina Min Arui Shiknei Nafsham BePachot Mikan Kevin Sheinu Nafsha BeShum Makom. That even though technically it is dependent on her and she could then supposedly lower the threshold below a Shavet Pruta, nevertheless, since a less than a shavet pruta has no meaning or no value in any other context, she accepts it at less than a match, she's not mikudeshet. Betela data itself kol anashim. Over there, we invoke the principle of betela data, which is that sometimes we say that even though it's open to the subjective feelings of the woman, we get to a point where we say there is a certain objective level below which we will not accept that subjectivity. And that's what Rashi and the Rashba are saying. In essence, they're saying what the Rabbeinu Tam says without changing the girsa. They're saying, yes, it is subjective, and the woman could accept different amounts, except over there, she can't go below a shavet pruta. The Rabbeinu Tam says she can't go below a shavet pruta because it doesn't say it's about her. That's an objective standard. What the Rashi and the Rashba will say is that, yes, it is an objective standard, and she could move around. The problem is, when she goes below that point, we say that she's off the reservation. She's below a threshold by which almost all women would not accept it, and therefore betela datak itzo kol adam, and that doesn't work. So they leave the girsa intact, but say that there is a threshold, which, because the lesson of pruta is not called money in any other place, therefore 99% of women won't accept it. Since 99% of women won't accept it, betela datak itzo kol adam. So that's how they deal with that stira between the Gemara here and the Gemara there. Now, the next answer that we have here is Rav Yosef Amar. First we had Rabbi Zera's explanation that it has to do with the hakpadah of the woman. Now we have Rabbi Yosef's explanation, which is Tamayu de Beit Shammai to the Rabbi Yehuda Maravasi. The reasoning behind Beit Shammai is like Rabbi Yehuda Maravasi. Dam Rabbi Yehuda Maravasi, kol kesef amur betorah, kesef tzuri. Any money that is mentioned in the Torah references kesef tzuri, v'shel divrehem, all kesef which is mentioned by the Rabbonon, or dinei de Rabbonon is kesef medina, is the going coinage of their time. Now, Medina, Kesef Medina, has a ratio of 1/8 to the Kesef Tzuri. Kesef Tzuri was seen as the standard bearer for silver and silver coins, and therefore everything was benchmarked against Kesef Tzuri, and that means that when the Torah says Shekel HaKodesh, they're talking about the Shekel of Kesef Tzuri, not the Shekel of the Medina. The Shekel of Medina is worth 1/8 of the Shekel Tzuri. So what Yehuda Maravasi says is that any time the Torah uses the word Kesef, it's referencing to the Kesef of Tzuri. When they're talking about the Rabbanan, it's talking about the Kesef, the coinage of the time, Kesef Medina, which is 1/8 of that Kesef Tzuri. So how does that solve the problem? Why does that tell you that you have to use a dinar? So Rashi says over here, Ubitzuri matbeya shel nechoshet leka. In Tzuri, there are no copper coins. Ubikidushin kesef ktiv. And by kiddushin, even though it's not explicitly written, but by kesef, by kiddushin, there's kesef through the gzeirah shava of kicha kicha misteya from gemiri. Became da fikte mipruta alma mide de chashiv bayi ukma dinar. Since they already told you you can't use a pruta because you can't use nechoshet, since suri has no nechoshet, no copper coin. Therefore, it says you got to go to something that's at least chashuv. What's chashuv? That is a dinar. So that's how Rashi learns here, that how do we know that you need a dinar kesef by kiddushin, according to Beit Shammai, is because the Torah says use kesef. Kesef is benchmarked by kesef tzuri. So kesef tzuri doesn't have any copper coins, so it doesn't have smaller coins. Dinar is the coin that must be because it's makbid on being chashuv. Okay, so that's a very good question. Why is it then that you end up at a dinar? Rashi is going to say in the next Talmud that the minimum coinage in Tzuri is not a dinar. A dinar can be subdivided into six ma'a. And ma'a are silver coins. And those silver coins are found in the Torah according to Rashi, because it says in the Torah, Esrim Geira HaShekel, that the shekel is made up of Esrim Geira. And the translation in Unklos of Esrim Geira is Esrim Ma'in Sila, that a ma'a is the minimum silver coin. And that's what Rashi is going to say on the next Amud, that the smallest silver coin within Tzuri is a ma'a. So now Rashi does two things here. He says, number one, there's no copper coin. So we have to be talking about a silver coin, so a pruta is not going to work. A pruta is a copper coin. So pruta is not going to work. So then what would you assume? You assume you move up to the minimum silver coin, and that is a ma'a. But Rashi says, no, because they're makbib, that it be a davar chashuv. And a davar chashuv is a dinar. A dinar is that minimum standard. So now, there are those that argue on Rashi from both perspectives. One argument on Rashi is, wait a minute. If there is a ma'a, why isn't that the minimum amount that you could use? Why do you go from a ma'a to a dinar? There are others that argue on Rashi and say, ma'a was not a coin that was found in Suri. Dinar is the smallest coin. You can see that Tosafot on the next Amud is going to tell us that the smallest coin in Tzuri is a dinar. And since the smallest coin is a dinar, then when you can't use nechoshet and you have to use silver, then you're going to get to a dinar. So the Balei Tosafot is very easy. The smallest silver coin in Tzuri, because they don't use prutot in nechoshet, very easy to understand why. Smallest coin in silver in Tzuri, that is a dinar. That's why Beit Shammai says a dinar, because you acquire kesef. Oh, what does Rabbeinu Tam do with the Esrim Geira? So the Rabbeinu Tam at the end of the Tosfot on the next Amud says the following. Vomer Rabbeinu Tam, de Geira loivi ma'a. Geira was not a ma'a, ela mishkal. It was a weight. It was not a coinage, but a weight. Haya bimei Moshe, sheya shave ma'a. V'shuva sumi menu matbeya v'karua ma'a. What they ended up doing after the fact was that it was a weight. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, was a weight called the Ma'a or the Geira. Later on, they coined a coin that was equivalent to that weight or to the Ma'a. So he says it was a later development, the Ma'a, which was a derivative of that weight in the Torah. So he says it was a physical weight, not a coin. But later on, they translated that weight into a coin. So he says, therefore, in the Torah, the minimum coin is a dinar. When it says Esrim Geira Shekel, it's telling you how much it weighs, not the breakdown into smaller coins into Ma'ot. So that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam deals with that problem. On the other hand, the Ritva, he has the same Shita as Rashi, because Ma'a are silver coins, and those silver coins are found in the Torah Esrim Geira HaShekel, that the Shekel is made up of Esrim Geira, and he says that my Damri Hocha Beit Shammai Dinar, Hainu, lama didhu, the came into lo katav rachman of mammon, the katav kesef. Hidei shiya kesef tzuri. Ha fike mi pruta, mipnei she'enu davar chashuv. The came into afde mi pruta, ukme adinar, shumat be'a chashuv. So what the Ritva says is that the Torah says kesef in particular, and doesn't use the word mammon. If it used the word mammon, then you would use prutot, maybe of nechoshet, maybe you would use ma'ot, which, according to him, maybe even our nechoshet as well, or the ma'ot, which are silver, are not chashuv enough, because they are the lowest. Once you go to something of chashivut, you got to move up a dargah, you got to go to a dinar. That's the way the Ritva deals with that problem, that even though in the time of Moshe there were ma'in, but despite the fact that there were ma'in, the Torah is not allowing to use them because it's being makpid on kesef, and telling you it's got to be higher than that lowest form. So that's the way the Ritva deals with it. But the simplest way to deal with it is to say that the word kesef equals dinar, that whenever the Torah uses the word kesef, it means or is equated with a dinar. And then you would solve all your problems here, I mean, which is the other approach that goes against Rashi's approach, which is to say, Rashi here says, kesef can mean ma'ah, can mean dinar, except the Torah now requires something that's chashuv, and therefore you jumped up to a dinar. So there are some shitot that say, Rashi's wrong, there is no ma'ah kesef, dinar is the minimum, that's Tosafot, and that's why a dinar is being used over here. On the other hand, there are shitot that just say the word kesef in the Torah means or equals dinar. When the Torah uses the word shekel, it means shekel kesef, or a sela, as is otherwise known in the parlance of the Mishnah, which is, we require that you have something that's worth 4 dinari kesef, or a shekel. But if it says kesef without any qualifier, no shekel, anything like that, then it requires that it be a dinar. And so therefore, when the Torah says kesef over here, it means, or is equated with dinar. And that doesn't matter what coinage there was in Suri, and it doesn't matter whether nechoshet, not nechoshet, kesef and dinar are synonymous in the Torah. And that's the way that Tosafot read and some of the other Rishonim learn over here. It's the simplest way to learn until you turn the page when you end up dealing with the next piece of the Gemara where it sounds like that's not the case. But that would be the simplest way to learn it. So you have 3 different ways to deal with it. Either that the lowest coinage in Suri is a dinar, or according to Rashi, because you can't use copper coins because it says kesef and there are no copper coins in Suri, therefore, you have to have some are chashuv, and chashuv means dinar. Why he skipped over a ma'ah? Not clear in Rashi. He's saying that's not chashuv enough. See some similar sentiments in the Ritva. Or you learn like the Tosafot read that kesef equates to dinar, and therefore you have a minimum of dinar. Gufa. Amar Yudam Ravasi. Rashi changes the girsa in the Gemara to Gufa in order to indicate that the Rav Yudam Ravasi are not pinned down to being like the Shita of Beit Shammai. Because if he didn't write Gufa, it would seem like the Gemara is continuing to explain Rav Yehuda Amar Ravasi in the position of Beit Shammai. And who says that Rav Yehuda Amar Ravasi want to have their position inside of Beit Shammai, especially since we know the Halacha is not like Beit Shammai, but rather like Beit Hillel. So the fact that the Gemara switches Gufa means that we're going to look at them independent of what's going on with Beit Shammai and try to understand their position. That's what Tosafot says over here. That's why Rashi changed the Girsa to Gufa, in order to identify or make it clear that that's the case. The Ramban and others suggest that you don't have to put in the word gufa, and you can still separate between the two. You don't have to say that they're going like shita at Beit Shammai. But gufa, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Ravasi, ko kesef mor b'torah, kesef tzurim, shel divriyam, kesef medina. V'klolohu? Is that really a general principle? Can you really take that to the bank? V'harei, ta'ana. So over here, by ta'ana, dichtiv. Ki ten isha reyu, kesef okelim lishmor. This is, in Parshat Mishpatim, it's talking about a shomer that is given items to watch, and then some of the stuff gets lost, the person comes to make a claim, and he is mode b'miktzat. When he's mode b'miktzat, the pasuk over there says, ki hu zeh. Ki hu zeh teaches us that you take a shvu'ah whenever you are mode b'miktzat. So now, but it's not shvu'at ha'dayanim, this shvu'ah of the dayanim of mode b'miktzat, what is the framework or the component parts of it? If you think about modeh b'miktzat, requires a claim, it requires a denial and an admission. There are 3 parts to this. There's the claimant who's coming and saying, you owe me or you have this of mine. There is the defendant who's saying, no, I only have this, but I don't have that. And so there is a claim, an admission, and a denial. So the question is, what are those made up of? How much or what is the minimum of those items? So it says there in the Mishnah, Shvata Darim Atanash Te Kesef Voda Shave Pruta, that the claim has to be 2 kesef and the admission has to be a Shave Pruta. So now that happens to be a machloka between Rav and Shmuel over there. Rav believes that the Tana has to be 2 kesef plus a pruta, meaning 2 kesef plus a pruta, and then the kfira is the shtei kesef, and his modeh b'miktzat is the pruta. That's the way Rav learns the Mishnah, that when the Mishnah says that you have a claim of 2 kesef, you have a hoda'ah of a pruta, that whole dava pruta is worth a kfira of two kesef. And therefore, Rav learns that the original claim was two kesef plus a pruta. And then the whole da'a was on that pruta, but he denies the shtei kesef. And then Shmuel says that the ta'ana is two kesef, straight. That's it. That's what the Mishnah says. The kfira can be any amount. He can be kofar, whatever he wants. And his mode b'miksad is the pruta. His mode b'miksad, the pruta. So they both agree that your mode b'pruta. The question is, how much the kfira has to be? So according to Rav, the kfira has to be that shtei kesef. It has to be that full amount. Whereas for Shmuel, it can be any amount, the kfira, even less than shtei kesef. So now, the question is, why is this the minimum standard? Why is, over here, it says shtei kesef. How do we know that it's shtei kesef? All it says is, kitein ish el reyu kesef o kelim. Now, your question, how do you know that it's not a pruta, is because it says kesef. Kesef means silver, pruta is nechoshet, so that will not work. You cannot have the pruta be the claim that is made over here, because it says, itein ish reyu kesef. He gave him something silver. Since he gave him something silver, the minimum amount of silver is above the level of pruta. So the claim certainly cannot be a pruta, or even two prutot, because it doesn't reach that kesef. You have to have kesef. So this gets us back to the machloket that we had just before, which is, now it said kesef. What is the minimum amount of kesef? So Rashi over here says, well, the smallest coinage in Suri is a ma'ah. So the question of the Gemara over here is, it says, Kitein ish el reyu kesef okelim. And all of a sudden I have a tanah shtei kesef, is two kesef. So the question, according to Rashi, is, Mikol makom, miktani shtei kesef. Over here that says shtei kesef, shmamira, kra lab dafka kesef kamar. Doesn't say, when it says kesef, it can't take that literally, because then otherwise, how did you end up with two? If it was kesef, you would take it literally, you'd have one coin. Ella, a mamona ba'alma kapit. It just makbid on money. Rekevin shlo piresh kama. Since it doesn't tell you how much, lo masra kotuba lo chachamim. That means that the chachamim gets to determine how much. Velo kimlo lo rabbanim shvua b'batsim erhochin. The rabbanim think that there's no reason for a shvua with less than an amount. Dikra dafka kesef k'tiv. Because if you took the pasuk literally and it meant kesef, and he dema'ahi matbea p'chutav shibitzuri. Miu shnaim minolu. A ma'a kesef is the minimum coinage in Suri. So fine, I understand now why you need a ma'a, because it has shtei kesef. So that would explain ma'a. But then, where do you get shtayim? How come you got two? So Rashi says the question of the Gemara is, the smallest coin in Suri is ma'a. So if I was to read the puzzle literally, I'd say, kitein ish el reyu kesef, that means a ma'a. Where all of a sudden do you show up with shtei kesef, which means two ma'ot? That's the question of the Gemara according to Rashi. And then the answer is, and Rashi has the Girsa, and our Gemara follows the Girsa of Rashi, which is, that's not a problem. Hotam dumia de kelim. There's a hekesh in the pasuk between kelim and kesef. Ma kelim shnayim. Kelim are two. How do I know kelim are two? It's because the minimum of a plural is two. It says kelim. So that minimum means two. Af kesef shnayim. So two kesef, the minimum must be two. Uma kesef davar chashuv. Now Rashi says now there's a limud in the other way. Just like the kesef here has to be something that is chashuv, af kelim davar chashuv. So too, the kelim have to be something chashuv. Rashi says over here, number one, the answer to your question, why do we have two over here? That's the hekesh to kelim. So yes, kesef itself would just mean a ma'ah. How come I end up with two ma'ah? That's because there's a special limud over here of kesef and kelim. Kelim gives you a minimum of two. So kesef has a hekesh to kelim, and therefore I need at least two. Rashi says, on the other hand, it's also teaching you that just like kesef is chashuv, that we don't accept prutot, and we only accept a ma'a kesef as the minimum, so too, when it comes to kelim, they have to be chashuv, which means that the value of the kelim, according to Rashi, has to be a minimum of shtei kesef. Just like kesef is chashuv, it has to be an amount that is chashuv, so too, the kelim have to be chashuv. Lafuke, to exclude the one who says in the Gemara and Shavuot, that even if you have two needles, each needle is chashuv, and therefore you can have more than a mix-up with two needles, you don't need the amount. I mean, a kelim can be a much lesser amount than kesef. You don't need shtei kesef minimum, you just need shtayim. You need two kelim, which would be two machatin, two needles would suffice. So Rashi says that this limud tells you that's wrong, that it has to be something chashuv. That's the way Rashi learns it. Two things that are important in Rashi's shita, the first of which is that the minimum coinage in Suri is a ma'a. Number two is, the Gemara's only question here is, how come you are using two and not one? The answer to that question is the Hekesh, which is just like Kelim are two, so too Kesef is two. The limud about Davar Chashuv is the other way around, which is that Kesef is Chashuv, therefore the Keli has to be Chashuv, meaning that the Keli needs a minimum amount of Tuma Kesef. Right, then Rashi brings B'Shem Rabu Taf, Rabotenu Mifashim, Te Dinar Hu Matbea Pechuta Shibitzuri. Says, my rabbis argue, my rabbeim say, that the lowest coinage in Tzuri is a dinar. And Tosafot takes up the Shita and defends the Shita of the Rabotenu Shel Rashi. Rashi says, Lidi Kasha Beituva. He says, then, I have a lot of questions on that. Chada, Dim Kain, Kol Kesef Mor Torah, Dinar Hu. That means that anytime the word kesef is used in the Torah, it should mean a dinar. And since it's a dinar, then how could it be that over here, the hekesh comes and says, umafkale. And now you have a hekesh that says, okay, everywhere else in the Torah, kesef means dinar. And over here, you have a hekesh that says, no, you don't need a dinar. Over here, you can have tuma kesef. And also, how do you say makelim devar chashuv? The way that the girsav is rabbeim were is the opposite girsav which Tosfot will take up, which is, it says, ma kelim chashuvim. Just like kelim are chashuvim, so too the kesef has to be chashuv. He says, since when are kelim chashuvim? We said in the Gemara in Shavuot that kelim can even be a machat, even a needle. How do you call that? That's something that's chashuv to learn kesef from that. For that reason, Rashi rejects this version of his rabbeim and believes, number one, ma'a kesef is the minimum coin that was found in Tzuri. So that's why it's talking about Shtei Kesef over here. It's talking about two ma'ot. And we learned that out from Kelim, the plural, but the Davar Chashuv is the other way around. He flips the Kirsa here and says, Ma Kesef Chashuv. Just like Kesef is Chashuv, so too the Kelim have to be Chashuv, and they have to have the same value as they otherwise would be the Kesef, the Shtei Kesef. Tosafot takes up the Shita of the Beteim Shorashi and says, no. The minimum shiur in Tzuri, or the minimum coin in shiur in Tzuri, was a dinar. And now, let me explain. The chen nirah l'ri, kamo sheperish b'shem rabutav, the dinar av mei b'tveya shibtchuta shibitzuri. Mashiach shi rashi. Dim kol kesef mor torah dinar, heichi achi hekesha umafkile. How can you have a hekesh all of a sudden that says that kesef, it doesn't mean dinar anymore? Ata nirah d'lo kashu leimide. Dayan hekesh l'mechsa. There's no such thing as a hekesh for half. V'hi chekeg d'gamrina minei shnayim. That just like we learn out from the word kelim that you have to have a minimum of two, we're also going to learn out from the din of kelim that has to be a davar chashuv. And so now, what that means is, according to the Balei Tosafot, question of the Gemara here is, how do you get to tuma kesef? If the word kesef and the minimum coin in Tzuri is dinar, how come the Mishnah is telling you shtei ma'ot kesef? The question is not really about the two. It's more about how do you know it's ma'a, not a dinar? Because the word kesef means kesef tzuri, and the minimum silver coin in tzuri is a dinar. So how do you ever come up with shvuat ha'danim being two ma'a kesef? Yeah, another problem is that if you say the minimum coin is a dinar, then how do you use the lashon of shtei? Shtei, which is a lashon nekeva, indicates that we're talking about ma'ot and not dinarim. It should say shnei dinarim, not shtei dinarim. The answer to that question is the Hekesh, two Kelim. There are two parts to it. Ma Kelim Shtayim, also Kesef Shtayim. That's number one. So that's how we know you need two coins. But still, according to that, it should be two coins or two dinarim. How do you get down to two Ma Kesef? They continue the Hekesh this way. Ma Kelim Davar Chashuv, just like a Davar Chashuv, so too, by Kesef you need a Davar Chashuv. You don't need Kesef a dinar, you need a Davar Chashuv. Davar Chashuv, already a Ma'a, is considered to be a Davar Chashuv, and that's enough. It's coming to tell you that don't be makpid on the Kesef, the standard Kesef in the Torah of Dinar, but rather, Ma'a is sufficient because it's Davar Chashuv. What about Rashi's question that a needle is a Keli? How could that be a Davar Chashuv? So Tosafot says something very interesting, and he says, Afilu machat yeshbo chashivut gadol. Even a needle has great importance. Shra'oi lo sopo melacha gadolah. That there's a difference between a kli and money. Money is simply stored value. It does not have any utility aside from its stored value. Kelim have utility for their particular usage. And for that reason, they're considered chashuv, not because of their inherent value, but because of their utility. And that's how they differ from kesef, that a keli can be chashuv because of the fact that it has utility. And therefore, we're going to take that and then make the Hekesh 2 Kesef. So that means, according to the Balei HaTosafot, you have the answer be this. Makilim davar chashuv, af kesef davar chashuv. And that means that even if it doesn't reach a dinar, it's still chashuv, and that's why shtei ma'ot kesef work in the case here. So you have here a machloket Rashi and Tosafot, according to this, which is whether the minimum coin, and again, this connects to what we spoke about before, is the minimum coin in Suri a dinar or a ma'ah. Rashi claims it's a ma'ah, and the Gemara's only question here is, how'd you get to two? If kesef is equated with ma'ah in the Torah, then how do you get to two? The answer is the hekesh to kelim. Ah, what about kiddushin? That Rashi says, no problem, because there, the Torah was makbid on kesef, and when it's makbid on kesef, it wanted a dover chashuv, and since there are no copper coins in Suri, it wanted a dover chashuv, it wanted a dinar. So that's the way Rashi learned, that's what we saw in the previous Samud. The other hand, for Tosafot, the minimum kesef in the Torah is a dinar, because that's the minimum coinage in Suri. Therefore, by Kiddushin, I understand, it says the word kesef, therefore you need a dinar. No problem there. Over here, how can we got to Shtema Kesef? There are two problems. How did I get to two? And how did I get to a ma? Both of those are learned out of Kelim. Kelim is two, but Kelim also teaches me, Ma Kelim Davar Chashuv, so too, the Kesef is Davar Chashuv. Davar Chashuv means even a ma'a, not a dinar, because the dinar would be the standard. Chashuv means that even if it's not the standard dinar, even if it's just chashuv, it's enough, and that's a ma'a kesef. All right. According to Rav Yosef, what's the machloka here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is the Ramban and the Ritva explain over here. The Ravasi Yamashi Ish Kesef, but Torah Shub Kesef Tzuri. Beit Shammai learns that every kesef in the Torah has a din of kesef tzuri. And for that reason, Kiddushin has a requirement of a dinar. On the other hand, Beit Hillel, and we're going to see this upcoming in Ravasi and Rav Yehuda's Shita, they believe that it's only true when it's kesef katsuv. When it's a fixed kesef, when the Torah gives you a fixed amount, then it's based off of kesef tzuri. On the other hand, when the Torah just gives you kesef without any amount associated with it, then the kesef then equates to the word mamon or money, and therefore you can use any amount. It could be a copper coin, it could be anything you want, as long as it is money. It's a minimum threshold of a pruta, which is the going money at the time. So therefore, their machloka revolves around the usage of the word kesef in the Torah. Whether kesef, when it's used without any qualifier, or without the word like shekel, kesef, there, does the kesef have to be literally like tsuri or not? Beit Shammai will say yes, and that's why they require dinar by kiddushin. Beit Hillel will say no. And that's why the Ramban explains, according to Rabbi Yosef, the machloket here between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Alright. So that's two ways to explain this Gemara. Now, by the way, that's what also causes the problem for what I said before, the Rid Shita. The Rid Shita says anytime the Torah says the word kesef, it means dinar. Well, then you run into a problem here because it's clear that the Torah here thinks kesef means a ma'ah. Well, kesef is defined as a dinar, then how do you get out of that? So again, you could argue, like the Tosafot, that the Hekesh does that, but if the definition of kesef is dinar, then it's hard to say that. According to the Balei Tosafot, kesef means kesef. Generally, it's benchmarked against Suri, unless I have something that tells me otherwise. That's what I have here. I have a Hekesh that tells me otherwise. But it doesn't say that kesef is synonymous with dinar. According to the Reed, kesef is synonymous with dinar. It's very hard to argue that the Hekesh changes that. And that's why not everyone accepts that sheet of the Tosafot Reed. The last thing we discussed was that, does the Torah ever have a ma'ah in it? According to Rashi, the Torah has a ma'ah because it says, Esrim gerah shekel. So that tells you that gerah is translated by Unklos as a ma'ah. So there is a ma'ah in the Torah, which is supportive of Rashi's position. As well as the way that Rashi explains the Gemara here is very similar to the Yerushalmi. And so Rashi is actually supported by the Yerushalmi's understanding of the Gemara. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot, the Rabbeinu Tam says that, don't worry about that. The ma'ah there, Rabbeinu Tam says, is not really a kesef. It was a weight. It was a weight that was later translated into a coin. But in time of the Torah, ma'ah doesn't exist. And the minimum coin was a dinar. And that's how they come about to their shitot. Right now we have more questions on this shita of Rami Yehuda Maravasi, which is, Varei Maser, Dechtiv Etzarta Kesef B'Yadecha. It says you will take the coins with you up to Yerushalayim. When you redeem the Maaser Sheni, you'll take those coins up to Yerushalayim. But it's not. And we have a Mishnah in Maaser Sheni. It says, Apurei Tzela Mima'ot Maaser Sheni. One who is converting. Over here, most agree that poreit here does not mean to make change into smaller coinage, but the other way around. You want to consolidate your coinage onto a sela. So you have a lot of prutot, and you want to consolidate them onto sela, because it's easier to transport to Yerushalayim. So there, parade some emotion, you can do that. That means that you were redeeming your Maiser Sheni on Prutot, and then afterwards consolidating it onto Kesef, onto a Sela. But that shows you that a Pruta works, or a Nechoshet works, but the Pasuk says Kesef. If you're telling me that the word Kesef in the Torah always means Kesef Tzuri, how do you have Nechoshet? Nechoshet doesn't exist in Tzuri. So why are you allowed to redeem your Maiser Sheni in that manner? Where it says Kesef, Ha Kesef Riba. That the Torah says, Sarta ha kesef, that extra hay comes to be merabeh, that any money works over here. So that's why, by the case of Maaser Sheni, you can use prutot, because there's a ribui there that specifically includes other monetary means, other than kesef itself, silver itself, means any coinage. So nechoshe will work as well, as long as you're using a coin, we are fine with that. Vari hekdesh, dichtev natana kesef vikam lo. It says, by Ekdesh, when you come to redeem it, it says you will give the money, and then it will come into his possession. Meaning, when you go to redeem it, it says that you will give the Kesef, Chamishato Yasif Alav, and then you will add on another fifth, and then Kamlo, it will come into your possession, it will be returned to you. So over there you have the word Kesef, Amar Shmuel, Ekdesh Shave Manesh, Chilo Shave Puta Mechulav. That Ekdesh that's worth 100 Zuz, if you are Michalelet, if you redeem it for a Puta, it works. A pruta is the minimum redemption, and as Rashi explains over here, that shechlol pruta mechulal de'eno na'al hekdesh. There's no such thing as overcharging or undercharging by hekdesh, because the parsha of ona'a, which says that one may not overcharge or undercharge an individual, it says re'ehu, your friend. So hekdesh is exempt from the rules of ona'a. If that's the case, it's also exempt from batel mekach, that if it's done, what's done is done, and you don't unwind the transaction. So Shmuel says, if you give a pruta, it works. But how could you use a pruta? If you use a pruta, that's not kesef. So how come it works to redeem the hekdesh? Hatamnami kesef kesef yalif mimaser. There we have a gzereshav of kesef kesef to maiser sheni. Here there are alternate girsa alt. You can see on the Mesorat Hashas, he brings from Bechorot that it's kodesh kodesh mimaiser sheni. The Gemara in many places has a hekdesh between maiser sheni and hekdesh from the word kodesh. From the word kodesh to, from maaser sheni to reva'ai. And similarly here, they're saying it's the same thing by hekdesh. The reason to do that is the problem that Rashi raises, which is the word kesef. If you say there's a gzeres shav kesef, then why doesn't that apply to all kesef in the Torah? Why don't you make a gzeres shav from maaser sheni to anywhere it says kesef? Why are you only doing it to hekdesh? Rashi has it. About shav kesef shetorah lo yolif minet lo domu. Because they're not similar. I mean that maaser sheni, the redemption of maaser sheni, the redemption of hekdesh are similar mechanisms. And that's why we have the limud. Vod, acha ksafim yeteraktiv. In both these cases, the word kesef is extraneous. So for that reason, we make the gzereshava here, but we don't apply it to all words of kesef. Others learn that the gzereshava really is kodesh, kodesh, and avoid that problem, because then it's unique to maaser sheni and hekdesh, and not something that you would otherwise learn from kesef, and then you have to worry about why doesn't it apply to all the words of kesef in the Torah. Farei kiddushei isha. What about getting married? Dichtiv kikach ish isha ubeala, v'gamar kicha kicha mistei afron. V'na kicha kicha mistei afron, and that says kesef. V'tznan, beitel omeim, pruta b'shove pruta. What are you gonna do? Beitel oshita in that case. Neima, Rav Asi, kedamar kebeit shamai. Let us say that Rav Asi holds like Beit Shammai. This is what forces Rashi before to say gufa, because here's the first time the Gemara contemplates the fact that Rav Asi is holding like Beit Shammai. That means until now they weren't thinking that. And that's why Rashi cuts it off with a gufa and says it's a new sugya. And then we ask the question later. Because if you continue from the previous sugya, it makes it obvious that they're holding like Beit Shammai. Ela itmar hachidmar. We have to amend the statement of Rabbi Yehuda Rav Asi, and this is the following. Kol kesef katsuv amur batorah, kesef tzuri. Any fixed money that is written in the Torah is kesef tzuri. V'shel divrehem, kesef midina. But if it's kesef midrabanan, if it's a penalty or a fine midrabanan, then we talk about it kesef midina. That is the local coinage at the time, which again is 1/8 of the coinage of Tzuri. So therefore here you have an answer, and this is what the difference between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel will be, which is, when it's Kesef Katsuv, we require it be Kesef Tzuri. So Beit Shammai will say, any Kesef in the Torah requires it be Kesef Tzuri, and that's why I require Dinar over here. Beit Hillel, and that's what Avihuda Rav Asi is holding, we're trying to get their position to be equivalent to Beit Hillel, we'll say that only when it's kesef katsuf, and when it gives you a fixed amount, like the Eved, where it says shloshim shekel as the knas, for when the shor kills the Eved Kanani, or The knas of me'anes, mifateh, which is 50 shekel, motzi shemra, 100 shekel, all of those have specified amounts. All of those have to be done by kesef tzuri. On the other hand, when it just uses the word kesef, kesef means money or mamon. And therefore over here, when it says kicha kicha mistefron, it means kesef. Kesef generically just means mamon. Any mamon, so that means even a prutan. That's what Beit Hillel will believe. So Gemara says, Maika Mashmalan, what is Rabbi Yehuda Amar Vasi teaching us? We know this already. Tanina. We have a Mishnah. Chamesh Shleim Shel Ben. The 5 shekel that you have to use, selah. Selah is the word that means shekel HaKodesh. It's the equivalent of shekel HaKodesh. Of Pidyon Bechor. Those 5 coins. Shloshim Shel Eved. The penalty of 30 for an Eved if a shor kills an Eved Kanani. Chamishim Shel Ones Umifateh. The case of Ones Umifateh where there's a penalty, a fine of 50 shekel. Meya Shemotzi Shemra. Kulam B'Shekel HaKodesh B'Menetzuri. The Mishnah explicitly says that that's the case. So Vashel Divrayem. And those that are Darabanan, because of Medina. You have a Mishnah that says exactly what Rav Yehuda Amar Vasi is saying now. So what did they add, or what are they telling us that we didn't know before? It's Trichalei to Lotzdan. We need them for the things that are not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, which is the Tanya. We have a Braita in Baba Kama, Tukeo de Chavero, someone who makes a loud noise by the ear of his friend. Now that can come in 2 ways. Rashi brings 2 interpretations where that is. Either he trumpets right into, or screams right into the ear of his friend, or he slaps his hands together right by the ear of his friend. According to the Rambam, he actually hits the ear of his friend. There, the Gemara determines that the boshet, the embarrassment caused by that type of behavior, notein lo sela. He has to give a sela. Velo teima my sela arba zuze. Don't think that when they say you have to give a sela, it means 4 zuz, which would be a sela tsuri. Sela tsuri has 4 zuz, 4 dinar in it. Ela, my sela, palga de zuza. It's half a zuz because it's worth 1/8 of the Sela Tzuri. Sela Tzuri has 4 zuz in it, then a Sela Medina on the equivalent basis would be half a zuz, because that equals up to 8. That's the multiplication of 8. Davide inesh dekaro lepalga nezuza istira. Because that is the terminology for Sela. Istira was the going coin. We'd call it the equivalent today of the 1 shekel, or the $1, or the 1 pound. That was the istira. That was the Sela. The Sela translated into Aramaic is an istira. So that istira is worth half a zuz, and therefore when the Gemara says sela, it doesn't necessarily refer to the sela of the Torah, meaning the manetzuri. It could also refer to the sela medina, which is this istira, which is worth half a zuz of the sela tzuri, and that's what it refers to. So that's now, again, there we just finished off the second reasoning behind the shita of Beit Shammai. Now we move on to the third reasoning behind Beit Shammai. Reb Shimon Lakish Omer, Tzmai Beit Shammai Kedechizkia. The reasoning behind Beit Shammai is because of Chizkiah. Damar Chizkiah. Amar Kra, Vafteh, Lo Niftata. It says by the Amai Vriyah, if she was not redeemed. Now, if she's not redeemed, Melameit, Shemigaret mi Pidjonah v'yotza. From there you learn out that she can redeem herself, and that you have to have a defeasance of the money that was given to buy her over the duration of time that she's there. So assuming, and that's true by Neved Ivri as well, that if he's going to be there for a duration of 6 years, then you subdivide his cost, meaning that what the Adon paid for him, into sixths. And every year that he's there, you take down the amount of money by a sixth. And then if he wants to buy himself out, he has to give you, after the first year, 5/6, after the second year, 4/6, and so on and so forth, until he redeems himself or he finishes up his work there. Iyamar bishlama da'ayvila dinar. If you said that he gave a dinar, hainu dimigrav azlad pruta, then I know how you subdivided the money. In that you started with a large enough coin where the coin has component parts to it. So if you tell me that the Amai Vriyah was purchased with a dinar, then I can understand how she has a diminishing requirement of redemption, because you can break the dinar down into prutot. Eliyamar Da'iv La Pruta, if you say that she was originally purchased, the Adon bought her from the father for 1 pruta, pruta mimi garo. Pruta has no subdivision. Pruta is the smallest coin. So now how are you going to say that she diminishes or defeases that value so that she can redeem herself as a partial value? There is no such thing as a partial pruta. Pruta is the bottom of the barrel. Maybe this is what the Torah is saying. If he paid a dinar, which is subdividable, then in that case, we would allow you to divide it down to prutot. Hechid yavila pruta. He paid a pruta, lo tigra klal. then there will be no redemption by means of defeasance because it can't be subdivided. The pruta doesn't go down in value that way. It says, lo, sakadatcha. You cannot think that way. Dumia de'yud. Because it's similar to the option for the Adon to marry the Amavriya. Mayud, apagav di boy meyayed, vi boy lo mayed. Just like by Yehud, he has a choice. He can decide whether he wants to marry the Amavriya, or he can decide he doesn't want to marry the Amavriya. Goecha dolo matzim yayed, lo avizvina zvine. If it's impossible for him to marry the Amavriya, it does not work at all. A father may not sell someone who is an erva to the Adon. He cannot sell, for instance, if it's his brother, or it's his father, whoever it is, he can't sell his daughter as an amavriya to those people, because they are erva with the girl. They're erva with the girl, they cannot perform yehud, which is one of the options for an amavriya, is to marry the amavriya. Even though, if he sells her to the Adon, who is not an erva, he doesn't have to marry her, he doesn't have to perform yehud, he can if he wants to. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Nevertheless, if it's impossible for him to form Yehud, no sale. Same thing over here. If you say, yes, it's his option or the option of the Amavriya to buy herself out, but if it's impossible for her to buy herself out, that will not be a good sale. And therefore, also here, if you cannot defease the cost of the Amavriya and allow her to buy her freedom out, it won't be a good sale. That means that a pruta will not work if that's the case. The Beit Shammai, nafkaluhu ma'amavriya. Here's the second assumption or axiom in the position of Beit Shammai, which is they learn out the value of kiddushin from an ama'ivriya. Ma'amivriya bepruta lo mikanyo. Just like an ama'ivriya, pruta will not work. Afishbisha bepruta lo mikacho. So too, a woman cannot be acquired with a pruta. So then, all you need is to be greater than a pruta. If you want to break it down, you say a pruta, you can break it down into its component parts. You don't need it to be a dinar. It can be any amount of money that's greater than a pruta that can be subdivided. Ema pala de dinar. You could have half a dinar. Ema shtei prutot. Or it could be two prutot. Because the two prutot can break down into component parts as well. So when it says, kevin da fikte mi pruta ukma dinar. Since it took it out of the category of a pruta, it jumped it up to a dinar. So that's actually interesting, because that's much more supportive of the Shita of Tosafot than the Rebbeim of Rashi, which is that pruta, the next coin up, is a dinar. There's no, what happened to the ma'ah that was in the middle here? How come it went from a pruta up to a dinar? That here makes it sound like there is no ma'ah on the Doraita level. And therefore, when you're talking about ma'ot, you jump from pruta up to a dinar. Elim Kain, you learn like the Ritva, which is that you need a davar choshuv, and a davar choshuv is a dinar. So if you're going to jump from a pruta, you move up to the next level of choshivut, that's a dinar. Ma'a is not a din of choshivut over there. All right, so that's the reasoning that Reish Lakish gives, which is, we learn it out of amai vriya, which needs a coin that can be subdivided. So therefore, it can't be a pruta, it must be a dinar. And then we learn from amai vriya, because it says, imachereti kachlo, that he takes another woman. So there we have that hekesh. The Yerushalmi discusses this in other places. Hekesh between another marriage that this Adon has and the Amavriya. That Hekesh tells you that we can learn from Amavriya to Kiddushin. And if you do that, you will learn out that the minimum is a dinar and not a pruta. Now, the last answer is given by Rova. Rova Amar Hainu Taimi de Beit Shammai, Shlo Yehu Ben Eut Yisrael Kehefker. So the Ben Eut Yisrael should not just be free. A pruta is too small an amount. It's not an amount of significance. And it's not giving chashivut, not to the money, but to the women themselves. As Rashi says over here, like, no, but devar muat. It's too small. A pruta is just too small. It doesn't give enough sense of worth or value to the Jewish women. But Rashi says over here, midrabananhu. That's only a din derabanan. Beit Shammai agrees midoraita that a pruta would suffice. But the rabbanan wanted to raise the threshold and make it that they were more chashuv. And therefore they raised that up to a dinar. And therefore, afkei rabbanim the kiddushim apuchutim dinar. The rabbanim were mafkia kiddushim, were less than a dinar. The way that we know that the rabbanim can unwind marriages that are doraita, doraita would work, but they were afkinan rabbanim kiddushim inei because they wanted to set that minimum standard of a dinar according to Beit Shammai. That's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that Rova's answer here is only a din derabbanan. On the other hand, the Ritva learns that this is even a din doraita. That even midoraita, it's ukma rachmana dinar, because the akpada here is not the akpada of the rabbanan, but rather the akpada of the Torah. The Torah was makbid that the Bnot Yisrael will not be like hefker, and therefore it made the minimum amount a dinar and not a pruta. So that'll be, according to the Ritva, that Rova's statement is even on a Doraita level, not on a Durabanan level. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the top of Yud Bet Amud Aleph.